afternoon. Two readings tonight, and the first one starts in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And the second one is from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Just suppose for a moment you could change anything about your outward appearance. What would it be? To be skinnier, taller, shorter, have more hair, thinner legs, smaller waist, different shaped nose, less ear, less pain, stronger legs. I perhaps need to be clear here. I list those things without any reference to what I can see from the front where I'm standing. You all look great as you are. I read the other day that in this country we spend £2.3 billion a year and rising on cosmetic procedures. And that figure doesn't include those procedures that are medically necessary. And it's argued, isn't it, that such procedures can make people feel better about themselves. But as a person, of course, there is no real change. There is no transformation. But what if you could change something about your inward appearance? That impatient spirit, the critical tongue, that jealousy that rears its head, the discontentment, the anger, those sinful desires. Our transformation is not something that needs to be outward. Our transformation is required on the inside. And that is what we find here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul has spent the first 11 chapters of Romans setting out for his readers the great themes of redemption. But now we come, if you like, to the practical response. How are these things that have happened in the gospel, how are these things to determine my life now as a Christian? And so Paul writes, doesn't he, at the beginning of this section of his letter, in view of all this, in view of all this, or if you like, therefore. One Bible commentator says this: doctrine is never taught in the Bible simply that it may be known. It is taught in order that it may be translated into practice. Conversion is to bring the response of complete surrender of body, mind, and spirit. And it's this thought of transformation in respect of the renewing of our mind that I want us to consider. But what is the mind. What is the mind? It is more than just our thoughts. When we say, what's on your mind? We're probably saying, what are you thinking about? But it's more than that, our mind. Our minds are that part of us which, yes, thinks, but feels, perceives, imagines, remembers, and wills. It is effectively our inner being. So we can now see, can't we, the significance of its need of transformation and renewal in relation to our new life in Christ. Because we are under the power of sin. And that affects every part of us. But now, because we are forgiven in Christ, we are no longer under the dominion of sin. And our lives can be transformed, which is very biblical and is very much in our text this afternoon. 1 Timothy 6, verse 5 tells us that the mind is corrupted by sin and therefore it needs to be changed. You see, inward transformation of our minds is the only effective safeguard against outward conformity to the spirit of the age. And therefore, that is why Paul gives us those two things that contrast. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Of course, we still need to operate within the world, don't we? We can't hide away from the world. And not everything that is done in the world is bad. But world, when it's mentioned in the Bible, has other connotations than just us thinking about the world out there geographically. The preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones defined world in the New Testament as, I quote, organized and lived apart from God, without reckoning on God, without being governed and controlled by him. That is for him the world, and therefore they are worldly. So it's not just a geographical world, world in the Bible, but it is also a behavioral word as well. And so our verse gives us the only two options as to how we are to live as Christians. We are either to conform or we're to be transformed. It is either to please the world or to please God. And the battleground between conforming to the world and being transformed is that within the mind of the believer. That is the battleground. Because Christians must think and act differently. But you know, I'm still me. I'm still me. God created me as me, didn't he? It is an error to think that when we become a Christian, we become some sort of automaton or robot, that we're not ourselves anymore. It's true to say that Paul is right when he says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That is perfectly right, but it's still us, isn't it? God does not change our basic personality. Rather, he changes the sinful manifestations of our personality because we are changed within. And the means of this transformation is that of our minds. Our thinking is changed. This call of holiness involves an inside-out transformation. Or as 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 talks about, we take every thought captive to obey Christ. See that relationship with our mind, our thinking, and our actions to obey Christ. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. I wonder whether when we're thinking of things and when we're working through things, whether we take it, as it were, captive to obey Christ. And the Greek word to take captive is to control, is to conquer, is to bring into submission. So we take every thought and bring it into submission, as it were, to obey Christ. Romans 1 verse 28 reveals the default problem with the mind. Paul says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a debased, or corrupt, if you like, a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. That is what our default position is, our problem, our corrupt mind. The Holy Spirit transforms that within us once we come in faith and receive forgiveness of our sin. The word renewal is only used in one other place in all the New Testament. So it's here about the renewal of our minds. The only other place is in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, where Paul writes, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, which fits in with what we were saying this morning, by the washing of regeneration, that's being born again, and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's the other place where that word that for the Greek is used, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us to renew us, and we are called to cooperate in this. It's not that we don't do anything, we just lay back and let it happen. We need to cooperate in this as we seek to live in a way that is honoring to the Lord. So what is the goal of this renewed mind? Well, it is, as our verse tells us, to know God's perfect will, but not only to know it, but to obey it. Obey it. I actually like J.B. Phillips' paraphrase of these opening two verses of Romans 12. It goes like this. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. That should be us, shouldn't it? That goal of maturity. Allowing God to change us, but not to be squeezed into the mold of the world, which is so easy, isn't it? Because we're bombarded with it all the time. Now, I think that we can just about say that summer is here. Mind you, I start my holiday tomorrow, so it'll probably change. But summer apparently is here, and so you get out your summer clothes and you try to squeeze into something that no longer fits you. That's the idea here. As Christians, we have changed since we were part of the world. We no longer fit with the world. And yet the world is trying to squeeze us into a mold that is no longer comfortable. Of course, the danger is that we are squeezed into it, and we get squeezed into it, and we therefore become more comfortable. We get used to it and we become more comfortable. We have to watch that. We have seen that our minds, therefore, are the root of all of our human actions. We act as we think. It is through our minds that our affections are stirred. It is therefore our minds that need transforming. The other place that Paul uses this word for transforming is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, where he writes, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What a wonderful truth that is. We're being transformed into the same image, one degree of glory to another. It's about becoming more and more like Jesus. It's what the Bible refers to as sanctification, that gradual growing righteousness made possible by the Spirit's work in us. In Philippians 2 verse 5, we're told, have this mind among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, have that same mind as Christ had. David Cook describes it like this. He says, Christians are human beings who are human becomings in the process of change, on the way to perfection, our eternal state. We are human becomings in the process of change, on the way to perfection, our eternal state. And so the hymn opens, may the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. It's an ongoing process. The Christian mind is a mind that has learned to think about everything from a Christian perspective. I'm not saying that we only think and talk about the Bible, or indeed that we should never get involved in anything that isn't church. That's not what it's about. But our whole being, nevertheless, is driven by our thoughts of God and his word. It's worked out in a practical way. It's seen. That transformed mind is then seen in transformed action. Listen to Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We did say, didn't we, that the mind is about our thoughts as well. But how our minds are controlled by what, in a sense, we receive and what we think about and what we watch and find. So in this world, let's just look and see of those things which are right and true, are honorable and lovely, commendable, worthy of praise, and let's think about those things. We are to engage our mind on things that are good. Not that we are to ignore those in need because of bad things that are happening and say, well, I can't have anything to do with that because that's the result of something bad. It's not like that. It's not hiding away. It's not being blinkered. But it is feeding ourselves well with what we find is good. Remember always that our minds are expressed in actions. Our minds are expressed in actions. And so we are to saturate our minds with God's word. Doesn't mean that that's all that we're ever allowed to read. But we are to feed our minds with good things. We're not to shut ourselves away from the world, but we're to shine the light of the gospel on the world through our words and actions. Those things that overflow out of renewed mind, that transformation that says we are children of God, we are born again by the Spirit of God. We're always on duty as Christians. We're never off duty. It's not just Sundays that we're Christians. It's every day. It's in our families. It's in our workplaces. It's in our neighborhoods. It's in the shop that we go into. We are to be those that shine for Jesus. We live a life of renewal. Let me remind you of those verses that we read earlier in Titus 2, beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. That is our goal, isn't it? We are waiting, we are looking forward, that blessed hope of the appearing of Jesus. Now, whether we go to be with him before he comes back for his church, we don't know that. But we do know that we are waiting for that blessed hope. And as we wait, we live those who are witnessing for him, not just in words, but in deeds. We are needing to learn life the way of Jesus. And in a small way, we are, in a sense, to model him, because we are to be more and more like him. And as our minds are renewed, we are able to make right decisions. We are able to please God. We were thinking, weren't we, in that song about the Lord speaking to us, shaping us and fashioning us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. And basically what we were saying is, renew us, transform us by the renewing of our minds. So our minds, and as our minds are renewed, we're able to make right and wise decisions. We are able to please God in the way that we live. Or simply, as Paul puts it, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. May that be our experience continually, not just when we were converted, but day by day, that constant renewal of our mind by the work of the Holy Spirit within us that will overflow in our lives.